And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again. Well, little bit of calamity here at the home office. I went to prepare for this week's program, and lo and behold, my poor old computer decided that it had had enough. So I am recording this late at night, early in the morning, trying to get this program together. And I know that it was going to be about where are we at in society. And I titled this one Volume 2. And it's it has been a struggle. You know, when you have to get a new computer and you got to install all the programs that you normally use, and some of them aren't available anymore because, well, the last time you had to do this was 6 years ago. And, well, that's where I'm at. And I appreciate you putting up with today's program. It's not going to be as organized as I normally try to have them. But I want to touch on a number of things. First off, the tragedy that has happened in Hawaii on the island of Maui. We have dear friends that are in Hawaii that support this ministry, and I pray that them and their family are doing well. I pray that they didn't lose all of their possessions because of the activities of some of these sycophants that are in charge in the Democrat-controlled state of Hawaii. You know, my brother got married in Lahaina, so I know the area well. I went up and down the main strip that has been decimated, ate dinner there a couple nights. My wife and my sister-in-law did some shopping there, and it's heartbreaking to see the damage that's been done to this community. And it's over something idiotic. There was an official that delayed releasing water to help fight these fires for more than 5 hours. They had the fires pretty much contained. And because this jackwagon, a former Obama Foundation leader, decided that water is a tool, a very important tool, for social justice. He said access to water should be predicated on conversations about equity. Equity when it comes to water. There are thousands of people missing still in that area. I saw a report where a few hundred children are still missing that should be going to school because we have to worry about water equity. His name is M. Kaleo Manuel. He was the deputy director of the Hawaii Commission on Water Resource Management. What an idiot. Of course you don't want to waste water. But the fact that you have the fire somewhat contained, mainly contained, and you refuse to divert water so that they can fight this fire, I think this guy needs to be charged with murder. For all of the people who lost their lives because of this fire and not having water resources available to put the fire out. Now, there are other horrendous things that have happened. They have put a blockade, so to speak, on people using drones to film the damage and devastation of that area. There is a leaked letter that revealed Maui County officials instructed the Federal Emergency Management Agency to immediately halt posting images and videos related to the Maui wildfire disaster. What do they have to hide? Unbelievable. Now they always spin it because out of respect for those who perished, we were asked by Maui County officials to pause on posting within social media and elsewhere new imagery of the damaged debris starting now. So they're not going to allow any more videos and film and pictures of the devastation. But in the meantime, while all of this is going on, there are hundreds of FEMA officials in Hawaii right now on the island of Maui that are staying in luxury hotels. That's right, $1,000 a night is being, taxpayer money is being spent for these people to stay in these luxury suites. Now, the locals are lambasting FEMA because of their slow response to these fires. There are thousands of Hawaiians that are homeless. So far, they have been able to say 114 people have lost their life. But these government employees are lounging about and enjoying themselves in luxury hotels. Now, there was a statement made to the Daily Mail out of England from FEMA after the Daily Mail published a story about the personnel search and rescue teams being put up in these hotels. And FEMA says they select hotels where all responders can be centrally located to ensure the most effective response possible. Due to the lack of available lodging, FEMA negotiated government rates for staff temporarily staying at the hotels. As we transition into recovery, staff will move to longer-term, more affordable responder lodging as they fulfill our commitment to support Maui. But until then, they're staying in a luxury resort. Man. And what did the government say? They're going to give a one-time payment to the survivors of $700. This will help them get food and clothing and transportation. I don't know about you, but the cheapest car, used car out there is about $20,000. So I don't think this $700 payment is going to do much for these people who are looking for food and clothing. This is ridiculous. And yet Biden wants to send billions of dollars to Ukraine. These are American citizens that they're dumping all over, but it's okay. I mean, what, Biden had to take two vacations before he finally made it over to Maui in the first place. And he was there, what, a day or so? And then he had to go back to his resort that may or may not be illegally rented. What a bunch of idiots. Speaking of idiots, the American Medical Association has floated an idea of using taxpayer funds to transplant uteruses for transgender people. That's right, dudes that want to be a chick. They want the taxpayer to pay for a uterus transplant so this jackwagon can decide he's a woman and he wants to have babies. Good night, nurse. When is the idiocy going to stop? These people are just fulfilling Bible prophecy left, right, and center when they do ideas like this. When God created man, it was Adam and Eve, right? It wasn't Adam and Steve. And Eve didn't think she was a dude, and Adam didn't think he was a woman. But we are fostering this mental illness to the nth degree. And now feminists are coming out and saying that this is wrong, that women deserve their own space. And these men that claim they are women aren't really women. Well, these feminists are being attacked. 3 years ago, the World Health Organization said that transgenderism was a mental illness. It has reached pandemic levels. That's right, pandemic levels. It is an epidemic of idiocy. That is coast to coast taxpayer dollars for a uterus transplant. Come on, man. Are you serious? More idiocy. The biggest newspaper publisher in the country has had a lawsuit filed against it. It's Gannett News, G-A-N-N-E-T-T, for racism. Now, is racism still around? Yes. But it's not what you think anymore. Everything has been turned upside down, just like the transgender movement, with dudes wanting to get a uterus transplant. The discrimination against white males is reaching epidemic levels. Gannett News is facing charges of discrimination stemming from a lawsuit filed by a few current and former white employees who say they were discriminated against in order for the publishing house to meet its diversity quota. These five employees, some of them are still working for the company, have claimed the organization launched a project to try and make the newsroom more diverse, which led to many white workers not being considered for promotions or discontinued. Here's your pink slip. Adios. There are 260 local publications across 47 states that are under the Gannett banner. USA Today is one of them. Now, when the announcement was made that this lawsuit was there, USA Today revealed that the workforce at Gannett was 46% female, 22% black, indigenous, or people of color. Seems fairly diverse, don't you think? But one of the plaintiffs, Stephen Bradley, claimed he was booted from his management job with the Democrat and Chronicle newspaper in Rochester, New York. He claimed that it was because of his skin color. Logan Berry, another plaintiff, missed out on a promotion because of these diversity policies. He was already in line to receive a promotion at the Progress Index in Petersburg, Virginia. But Gannett took over ownership in 2019, and his position that he had earned was given to a black woman with fewer qualifications than he had. So reverse discrimination is rearing its ugly head. You know, when people start understanding that there's one race, the human race, and we quit worrying about equity, and that is a misnomer. It is not equity. It should be equality. Equity is a financial term. But these mentally handicapped individuals that are bereft of any common sense have decided that equity is the same as equality. That is the joy that we get from dealing with cultural Marxism in our universities, the mind control that starts in kindergarten and goes all the way through college. You know, the best thing that came out of COVID was homeschooling went up. The number of people who started homeschooling their children increased because they actually saw the garbage that was being inputted into the brains of their children. And good parents don't want to put up with that. But there are some who are stuck. They have no choice but to send their children to these indoctrination centers. Goodness gracious. Well, the Biden regime is at it again. Not only do they not want you to eat meat, drive a gas-powered car. Oh, this is unbelievable. Now, I'm not a beer drinker. Never have been. You know, my father was an alcoholic. His father was an alcoholic. And it cost my dad his life. He died from cirrhosis of the liver. Poisoned himself. when he hit 67, he decided he wasn't going to live that much longer, so he might as well drink up. And he did. And he destroyed his liver, and he lived to be 80. I miss him every day, but now the Biden regime has a health czar named Dr. George Kube. And he wants to reduce the amount of alcohol intake in Americans. He wants to pressure Americans to limit their consumption. Now, Canada already recommends that their citizens consume no more than 2 drinks a week. This guy, Dr. Kube, enjoys wine twice a week, he said. Maybe. But he claims that if there's a health benefit, people will start to reevaluate. Well, maybe, maybe not. I got a story coming up about a woman who enjoyed her wine a little too much. But how crazy is it that this regime, this wannabe dictatorship, believes that beer drinking is a more pressing crisis than the skyrocketing inflation, the lawlessness that's happening on our border? Mortgage rates are up to almost 8% now. That's part of Bidenflation. But now we have to take target on beer. The Obama regime, Michelle, came after the food that was being served in schools. Got to be healthy. You know, if kids won't eat it, it doesn't do much good, does it? I don't think so. You got to give them a little choice. Here she is. Her name is Kimberly Coates. She was allegedly intoxicated on the job as an elementary school teacher. Oh, my. They finally talked to her at 3:20 in the afternoon. So she had already been teaching all day, well, attempting to teach in Oklahoma. And they had her take a breathalyzer test. She blew 0.24. 0.08 is the legal limit to drive. 0.24. Anything above 0.33 and you can suffer alcohol poisoning. But she blew 0.24 at 3:20 in the afternoon. The school's resource officer, Shane Dean, confronted Miss Coates, and he asked her how much she had to drink. Well, she said she drank some wine on her way to work, but she denied drinking during the day. Well, I'm sorry, Miss Coates, but you don't blow 0.24 if you've only been casually drinking in the morning. That doesn't make sense to me either. I know about you. I don't need a depressant first thing in the morning. I need caffeine to help me get rid of the grogginess when I wake up. But Miss Coates denied she had anything to drink in the afternoon. They have body camera footage of the interview. And they grab a blue plastic cup and they smell it. And they say, "What do you use this for?" She said, "My juice." Yeah, the grape juice. But it's fermented, so it's wine. She was drinking wine all day. She claimed she only drank a half a bottle of wine the night before, and she stopped about 3 a.m. She claimed she's seeing a counselor and taking medication for anxiety. But she was arrested. She was taken to Payne County Jail there in Oklahoma. Now, having been married to a teacher, I've seen some of the crazy antics that some of these teachers have done. There were some that my wife worked with that couldn't wait to get home to smoke a doob. Yep, smoke some marijuana. And they were all first in line to get happy hour at some bar or restaurant near the school. How they were not arrested for DWI, driving while intoxicated. Some states call it DUI, driving under the influence. But they would sit there and finish happy hour and then drive home. Thankfully, my wife is not a drinker. She would go to the restaurant and she would have dinner and visit with her friends. But goodness, drinking at school, that's a new one. I know the little rascals are sometimes a little too much. And I know my wife suffered anxiety when she was teaching because the parents aren't parenting anymore. The teachers are babysitters anymore. Their curriculum is dictated by goofy policies from people who have succumbed to cultural Marxism. And all my wife wanted to do was teach children. She loved teaching children. But the parents don't parent the children. There's no discipline. Teachers can't discipline in class. My wife had a student attack her. She sent the student to the principal's office. And 10 minutes later, this student showed back up in her classroom. So administration isn't doing anything to help the teachers. The lawmakers have taken punishment out of the classroom because we don't want to hurt little Johnny and Jane's feelings by making them put their nose in a corner until they can behave. Well, it damages their psyche, they say. You know, when I was in elementary school, I put my nose against the wall one day. I only did it once. But I was in the hallway with my nose against the cinder block. A circle had been drawn, and I had to keep my nose there. I had to stand there for, it seemed like, all afternoon. I can't tell you exactly how long it was, but I tell you, I never did it again. I never acted up in class again. And the problem is, when I got home, my mother already knew what had happened. And I got a whipping. I didn't get beat. I got a spanking. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And now that we came out with time out, that has really, that has really thrown things for a loop, hasn't it? Goodness. My, my, my. Speaking of craziness, the globalists, these climate nuts, have a goal to ban meat and dairy products, along with private vehicles, in 14 U.S. cities by 2030. That's right. This was reported in The Federalist. 14 American cities are part of a far-left climate organization headed by billionaire globalist Mike Bloomberg, aiming to abolish private vehicle ownership and wean constituents off meat and dairy 7 years from now. Unbelievable. New York City Mayor Eric Adams back in April announced that New York would place caps on the amount of meat and dairy served by city institutions, including prisons and schools. France has banned short-haul commercial flights to reduce carbon emissions. This is all part of the Great Reset that Klaus Schwab has promoted because we're in a so-called climate crisis. I wouldn't be surprised if Austin isn't included in one of these cities that have signed on to ban meat, to ban car ownership, to ban dairy products. What a joke. Speaking of jokes, Elon Musk has had a lawsuit filed against him by Biden's Department of Justice because he isn't hiring immigrants and asylum seekers for SpaceX. Now, the DOJ claims that SpaceX failed to provide documents in response to an investigation request. But Elon Musk tweeted back in June of 2020, United States law requires at least a green card to be hired at SpaceX because rockets are considered advanced weapons technology. So Biden, open border Biden, and his regime have deemed that SpaceX has violated the human rights of illegal immigrants and asylum seekers because he won't hire them at SpaceX. Even though if he had, he probably would have been arrested for allowing these people in with advanced weapon technology. But not this regime. They want to go after Elon. They're going after him. He is in trouble. Goodness gracious. The idiocy just doesn't seem to slow down, does it? And so many people have got their head stuck in the sand. They don't care to be persuaded that this is a problem. They don't think it's a big deal that men want to dress up as a woman, that they want to get a uterus transplanted into their body. They think, well, you know, c'est la vie, let it be. But idiocy is reigning supreme. You know, Klaus Schwab, one of his little sycophants, said that you will own nothing and you will like it. And that doesn't register with a lot of people still, because they still have their cars. They're still driving all over the place, but they're not speaking out about it. So what happens when the government comes and takes your car away, or your car breaks down, there's no parts to fix it, there's no gas stations to fill it up because they've all been shut down? Then are they going to wake up? I mean, does anybody have a couple $100,000 laying around to buy a couple brand new EVs? You know, a funny story. The head honcho at Ford Motor Company took one of his EV vehicles for a road trip, and he realized it's not as convenient as everybody thinks. You know, if you can get to one of those supercharger stations, you can sit there for 45, 50 minutes and charge it back up to 80%. But think about that. If you went to a gas station, 5 minutes tops, you can go 400 miles. After an hour wait at a charging station, you can go another 200 miles. How is that environmentally friendly? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, the head honcho at Ford realized that, well, now I see the problem. And I understand where people are coming from because, well, this isn't very convenient. There are people that are sleeping in their EVs because of distance anxiety. We're already messed up psychologically between the indoctrination that we get in schools, the things that we see on the news, and now we're being pushed to buy EVs. How much longer before everybody in this country is absolutely nuts? You know, the only people who won't be are the Christians, because we saw this coming in God's holy word. We know that there are going to be calamities and maladies. We know we're going to be persecuted. Unbelievable. Well, that's going to take care of the first half. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me some of your time. We're going to take a brief pause, and when I come back, we're going to dive right back in. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding book that Tex Mars wrote, and a number of people were kind of curious as to why Tex would write a book on robots. Well, Tex had been in robotics. He had written a number of books about robotics. It was a field that Tex had a passion for, But Tex also was able to see so far into the future that people could not comprehend why he would write this book. But as events unfold every day, thanks to DARPA, other researchers like Elon Musk, the picture becomes clearer and clearer, doesn't it? They're looking to create cyborgs that are part human, part robot, and they want to live forever. And that's the plan. Since time immemorial, humans have sought to build artificial creatures that move and talk. In this book, Robot Alchemy, you'll see many of these creations. But you will also see a startling future in which science and alchemy turn everything upside down. Robot life will thrive, and humanity will shrink because of the advancement of this superior life form. In this age of robotic superiority, humans will be outworked, outthought, and outdone in every field. Artificial life, androids, cyborgs, robots, they will be the ones prospering as the era of human life vanishes and fades away. The creator of robotics, humans, will bow to these strange new creatures because they are stronger, more cunning, and more useful. Robot Alchemy, powerful book. The book is 240 pages. It has mostly color photos. Now, when we originally published this book, it was $30. We have reduced the price down to $25 because we want you to have a copy of this powerful book. You'll see some of the things that DARPA has created, some of the robots that they're developing. They're looking to replace you. Look at cars today. They're coming up with artificial intelligence-driven vehicles that drive themselves. And people think this is a great idea, but you're losing more of your autonomy every time you acquiesce to one of these new creations. Think about that. Amazon uses robots to offload 18-wheelers, put product on the shelf, take product from the shelf, and take it to the packers. Pretty soon, the packers will be replaced with robots. There's already hamburger joints that have robots cooking hamburgers. Those minimum wage jobs that people want and demand $15 an hour for, like at McDonald's, those jobs are going to disappear. Robots are going to replace people. It's coming. And you need to know what to expect. This book has lots of answers in it. Knowledge is power, and you need a copy. 240 pages with color photos for only $25. Please add $6. That'll make your total $31. This is one of Tex's large format books. It is a honking size book, and you'll be blessed with the material. You can order your copy of Robot Alchemy by phoning us toll-free in Canada and the United States at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We take Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those same charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for this book on the main page. Add it to your basket, put your name, address, shipping method, charge card information, hit submit. We'll get it coming to you. Now, if you want to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. Today we're talking about Where Are We At in Society, Volume 2. And as I said before the break, the idiocy is rampant. There are some people who are actually trying to do right by the American citizens. You know, recently the Supreme Court ruled against affirmative action in college admissions. They're trying to get rid of equity as far as allowing students into their university. There are some that are fighting this tooth and nail. Some are requiring pictures along with your application. Some are requiring video on why you deserve to be at that university. They don't care what you have to say. They're looking at your skin color. They're looking at your sex because of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, this organization, led by Edward Blum, is called American Alliance for Equal Rights. They have filed another lawsuit. Good for them. They are targeting Perkins Coie. That name should ring a bell if you know anything about the dossier on Trump and Hitlery and all of her little clones running around, and Morriston Foerster. These two law firms, international law firms, have quotas when they select fellows. That's first and second year law students. They're allowed to come in and work and learn a bit about how a law firm works, and it helps their education, blah, 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 right? Well, Perkins Coie in Texas, the suit alleges that they have been racially discriminating against future lawyers for decades by limiting fellowship positions to applicants who are students of color, students who identify as LGBTQ, or students with disabilities. The fellowships pay tens of thousands of dollars to these law students. And they provide a pool of prospective employees where salaries can start around $190,000 a year. Now, the law firms claim that they are promoting diversity, equity, inclusion, and their values that are steadfast with them. So they're going to defend themselves, as they say, vigorously in a court of law. Well, good luck. I hope that the same result happens here. It should be a meritocracy, not based on whether you identify as LGBTQ, PRS, XYZ, whatever. It should be a meritocracy. So I guess if you want to be a fellow at Perkins Coie, if you dye your hair purple, you get piercings all over your face, and you wear some kind of rainbow-colored shirt, you got a bigger chance of getting in, unless you're a white male, I guess. Unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, this was in the post-millennial. Jordan Peterson is a former University of Toronto professor. I should say Dr. Jordan Peterson. He's a psychologist. He has been ordered by the Ontario College of Psychologists to undergo re-education over his social media posts that uphold free speech, speak out against gender ideology, and the medical mistreatment of minors. Now, there are a number of people that are supporting this doctor, but it is not the Ontario College of Psychologists. Re-education. Where have you heard that before? He's not allowed free speech. He's not allowed to tell the truth. All of his video recordings have to be done away with. Memory hold, just like in 1984. Goodness. You know, he tweeted, quote, "I have been accused of harming people, although none of the complainants involved in the current action were clients of mine, past or present, or were even acquainted with any of my clients. It was about a dozen people from all over the world who submitted complaints about his statements." So he's been canceled and ordered to go to re-education. Speaking of re-education, you know, New York City is proud to be a sanctuary city. Well, they were. The politicians still are, although the mayor is trying to offload all of these migrants to other towns. Same thing's happening in Chicago. But New Yorkers were surveyed. Over 80% of New York residents say the recent migrant surge is a serious problem. It was a poll published from Siena College. A serious problem. 46% of the respondents said migrants resettling in the state over the past 20 years are a burden, not a benefit. 58% said the state has already done enough and should slow the flow of these illegal aliens. Now, these are Democrats, Republicans, Independents, upstaters, downstaters. They're all fed up with the number of illegal immigrants that are flocking or being bused to New York City. Oh, and Hochul is demanding money from Biden to help pay for all this. You know, they're putting these people up in schools. They're putting them up in hotels. It's a mess. But because Biden has opened the border wide, they have welded gates in Arizona so they cannot shut and allow the free flow of illegal aliens into this country. How many terrorists do you think have made it past our border in the last 2 years? Gang members, MS-13. I just saw a report out of Colorado where MS-13 gang members were convicted for rape and murder. You know, President Trump called them animals, and he was berated by the controlled media for having the audacity to call these humans animals. Well, nowadays, there are people that are identifying as furries. I passed a woman a couple weeks ago in Georgetown, which is north of Boston, wearing whiskers, cat ears, and a t-shirt that said, "I identify as a cat." What? It's not a mental illness. Right. Well, speaking of mental illness, how about Portland? The public schools, they are looking to come up with equitable grading practices that will bar teachers from assigning zeros to students who cheat or fail to turn in their assignments. They are aiming to address racial disparities and inequities in grading and instruction, a journey the district began during the scamdemic. Grading for equity. Goodness gracious. So, what happens in the real world when these illiterate, uneducated people who have graduated high school come to join the workforce? You know what their main thing is going to be? Would you like fries with that? Baltimore, Maryland can't pass more than 20% of the students. Well, they pass them, but they're illiterate. There's a school over by Waco that only 5 students passed the exit state exam and had grades high enough to graduate. 5. Now, it's a small school, but it's not a super small school. This is a medium-sized school in the state of Texas. What are we doing to these children? We're doing a complete disservice. They can't read. They can't write. They definitely can't read and write in cursive because, well, it's not a state law. I only know this because my wife was a teacher and she taught cursive to her 4th grade students. And a parent called her out on it and said, "It's not required by state law. You need to quit teaching my son cursive." So now the joke that boomers are telling is, how do you confuse kids today? You lock them in a room with a rotary dial telephone and write instructions on how to escape in cursive. They'll never leave the room because they're uneducated. And by coming up with this grading for equity up in Portland, they are dumbing down these people even more. You know, Sandra gave me a copy of Idiocracy 1 year. And she said, "You got to watch it. the dumbest guy was frozen, thawed out many years later, and he's the smartest guy around now. That's where we're heading. Where are we at in society? We're a bunch of numb, mind-controlled robots. And why do you think artificial intelligence is so big right now? Why is there such a push? Because we're dumbing down the Americans to the point that they're not going to be able to think for themselves. Goodness. Well, I came across this in the Gateway Pundit. It's one of my go-tos. Gas prices have surged to the highest point of the year. And I can tell you, I had to pay $3.70-something a gallon when I was out and about running errands one day. The average national price is $3.85 a gallon. The average price per gallon for regular unleaded in California hit $5.26. Now, you remember the last time gas prices went up like this, and they were talking $6, $7 a gallon? That was when Biden opened up our reserves, except most of those reserves were sent to China. We didn't get it. But Biden wants to do away with the oil and gas industry. He's killed tens of thousands of jobs when he canceled the Keystone Pipeline. It's okay for gas prices to go up because Joe doesn't pay for it. We pay for it. All of the jet setting, all the vacations he's had in the last 2.5 years have been at our expense. Taxpayers paid to put up a border wall on his Rehoboth beach house because Biden can't be disturbed. Unbelievable. The idiocy is just crazy. Well, speaking of crazy, you know, there has been a couple songs come out. One of them is by Jason Aldean, Try That in a Small Town. And, oh, man, the loony left went nuts for that song. You know, and basically what the song says is if you want to be an idiot, you want to go beat somebody up, just sucker punch them. Or if you want to rob somebody, or if you want to do something illegal, well, don't try it in a small town. Please don't try it in a small town because we stick to our own. We care about our neighbors. And in the South, we really care about our neighbors. So we're not going to put up with this. Well, you know, the loony left said it was full of racism because he was lambasting Black Lives Matter, blah, 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 blah. No, he was saying act like a citizen of this country, not an idiot, not a criminal. Because if you're a criminal, you'll have to pay the price. So there was a link to a video on Citizen Free Press, citizenfreepress.com. And it's a tweet from Wall Street Silver. And it says, when you try to steal $2,200 in power tools at a Home Depot in broad daylight, but then you get tackled and hogtied by locals in this town, that's what Jason Aldean is talking about. This video shows this guy, there's a bunch of hardworking dudes, and they're all different colors. I see white, I see black, I see hillbilly, I see, looks like an Asian. There's a woman in it, and she's wearing the Home Depot orange smock. Well, they caught this guy. They brought him to the ground. They hogtied this guy until the police showed up. That's what Jason Aldean's talking about. If you want to be something stupid, then don't try it in a small town because this is what we're going to do. But it also happened in Cassopolis, Michigan. I hope I said that city name right. This felon, this multi-time felon, decided that he was going to walk into a gas station and he was going to rob them. And he walked through the door and the video camera shows him. He says, you know what I'm here for? And he's got a box cutter. And there is a guy from the Middle East that's behind the counter. And I don't know his nationality. I don't care. He's working for a living and he's doing the best he can. And here comes this jack wagon, Cordelius Anthony Martin. 35 years old, comes in to rob the store. I got a box cutter. So he's over there pulling money out of the till. The worker is down on the ground cowering, but there's a gentleman with a concealed carry license, and he's armed, locked and loaded. He's got his gun in one hand and a six-pack of Miller Lite in the other, and he shot this criminal, and then he ran out of ammo. He shot one of the bottles behind the guy, but he ran outside, got another weapon that had bullets in it, came in and held the criminal, Cordelius Anthony Martin, until the cops showed up. Martin was charged with armed robbery, assault with intent to rob while armed, and felonious assault. He will be charged as a habitual offender, as this is his fourth arrest and charge. Felony. But thanks God this guy had a weapon on him, and he protected this other guy, the clerk who was cowering behind the counter. He protected somebody. He may have just casually known him. He may have stopped in there a couple times a week to get a six pack. Maybe he got a Coke or a cup of coffee in the morning. But he doesn't know this clerk, but he defended the guy because he was being threatened with a box cutter. Good for him. Now, he has been cleared of any charges, but they had to investigate and decide, the prosecutor had to decide whether he was going to charge this guy with assault with a deadly weapon or not. Unbelievable. Thankfully, common sense ruled the day, and he wasn't charged. And the criminal goes to jail. Speaking of criminals, how about Chicago? Unbelievable. It just gets worse and worse in Chicago, doesn't it? They got rid of Beetlejuice, and they got another guy that's as bad or worse. But it's not just the mayor. It's the aldermen that are on the council. And they're all demon rats. They're all crazy. This woman, Maria Haddon, is an alderwoman for the 49th Ward, I guess. She asked Chicago area gang members to shoot each other only at night. That's right. She's asking gang members to limit their shootings and murders to the evening hours to protect the people. Goodness gracious. Democratic policies have turned Chicago into a haven for violence. According to the Washington Free Beacon, crime increased by 38% in the month after Brandon Johnson took office. Robberies are up 17% compared to last year and 30% in the last 3 years. Now, during his campaign, Mayor Johnson called for health professionals and not police to respond to crisis calls. He did not back filling the city's police vacancy, which is over 1,500 positions. So how do you fix it? You hire more cops. Are you going to have bad cops in that mix? Sure, everybody does. But you're going to have good cops too. You police out the bad ones. You keep the good ones. You pay them a decent wage. These guys are, and women, excuse me, are putting their life on the line every day. When they put on the uniform and walk out of the house in the morning, they don't know if they're coming home or not, especially in Chicago. You know what you do? You get rid of the gangs. You lock them up. The police know where they're at. It's not rocket science. If you get rid of the gangbangers, you know what? Maybe gun deaths will go down. Because most of the gun deaths are young black males killing other young black males. I guess you would call that equity, but I call that idiocy. Because they're killing innocent people. They do a drive-by. You don't know what's going to happen, who's going to get hit. It's crazy. Fix it. Speaking of crazy, I saw this on local news the other night. There was a guy in his apartment who had a knock on his door. He had a Ring doorbell, or one of those doorbells that has a camera on it. And he's able to communicate. And he says, "Who's there?" And he said, "Maintenance. I'm here to change your filter." Okay. Well, he told the guy, "I'm not home. So you'll have to come back." He said, "Okay." He even had a clipboard and a pencil. So he turned around, knocked on the door across the hallway. This is in an apartment complex. So it looked semi-official, but the guy looked shady. And this guy was in his apartment with his brother. He wasn't going to let him in his house. A little bit later, same guy comes to the door. He's got a gun in one hand. That's right, a gun. He starts kicking on the door, trying to break into this guy's apartment. And he can't get the door to break open. So his partner in crime, a bigger guy, comes in and starts kicking at the door. And it won't open. Well, this is Texas. You never know what you're going to get when you act like an idiot. The homeowner, the apartment dweller, happened to have a gun. And he can defend himself. And he did. He shot through his own door using the Ring camera right there on the doorbell to help him aim. Now, he didn't hit the guy. And thankfully, he didn't shoot the neighbor across the hall. But as soon as the bullet started coming out the door, the criminal ducks. He fires off a couple shots, and then him and his buddy take off. This guy defended himself defensively. Thank God. Golly. Got to defend yourself. You never know what's going to happen. Now, Mr. Hernandez, the apartment dweller, isn't going to face any charges. Aaron Contreras has been charged with aggravated assault, deadly conduct, and attempted burglary of a habitation. Now, they haven't arrested his accomplice yet, but Contreras comes to the door with no mask on. At least his partner in crime had one, but you know he'll sell him out. Goodness gracious. Good for them. Defend your home. Defend your family. Don't let these criminals just run roughshod over you. That's where we're going. It's idiocy. And that's where we're at in America today. The idiots are running the asylum. We got trannies that we know are mentally ill, but we're pushing this transgender ideology to little children. We got homeless people in encampments all across this country. And as dry as Austin is right now, we're under wildfire dangers every day. It is a threat because the humidity has been down. The grass is parched because we haven't seen rain since June. We had over 50 days, I think, over 100 degrees, 50 consecutive days. So it's a tinderbox. But the homeless people are still setting fires, and they're burning down camps. Now, it could be an accident. Maybe he's got a candle and it tips over and sets his tent on fire. The homeless should be in shelters, should be in mental asylums, if you want to know my opinion, because most of them are either addicts or they have some kind of mental illness that needs to be treated. But instead, we let them camp downtown Austin. We let them camp in wooded areas. And the homeowners that live nearby are threatened every day. How would you like to have a homeless camp right behind your house and you don't know if it's going to get torched and the wind's going to shift and your house is going to be destroyed? The homeless guy doesn't have insurance. Who's going to pay for it? You are. And then after your house gets rebuilt, if it gets rebuilt, you know what happens? Your insurance rates get jacked up or they cancel your policy. Idiocy reigns. Idiocy reigns. And it's pouring right now. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.